Our lesson this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 through 23. These are a continuation of the Proverbs of Solomon collected by Hezekiah's scribes. 250 years after Solomon, Hezekiah's scribes copied more of Solomon's Proverbs from separate works, and they comprise Proverbs 25:1 to 29, verse 27. So we view some of these collected Proverbs of Solomon in Proverbs 26, verses 13 through 23. I'd like to read those verses out of the King James Version, and then we'll look at them in depth. Proverbs 26, beginning at verse 13. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the road, or the lion is in the streets or the open city squares. As the door turns upon its hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hides his hand in his bosom. It grieves him to bring it back to his mouth again. We have to retranslate that because we don't understand what that means in the King's English. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He that passes by and meddles with strife, belonging not to himself, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. As a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not kidding or am I not in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. We have to translate that again. And the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. That has to be retranslated because when the translators had the Hebrew text, they didn't understand what was going on with the silver dross. Okay, let's look at these Proverbs a little more in depth. Proverbs 26:13 literally teaches a sluggard says there is an old lion in the road, a lion in the city streets or open plazas. Now, even old lions hardly ever used a road, and the lions did not frequent cities. Lions had a tendency to stay away from people and streets. The only time when I was a child of missionary parents in Nigeria, the only time we knew that lions actually became very dangerous to man is when a lion became so old that he couldn't attack and kill game himself. So he would go after humans. Humans were easier. But normally lions didn't like to be around human beings. And of course, once a lion has tasted human flesh, then you have to kill it. Otherwise, it'll just keep going after human beings. But the idea is an old lion is in the road, and then the excuse heightens. A lion, which would be a healthy lion, is in the city streets, which is an absurd excuse. So the point is, a sluggard will make up excuses and increases excuses just so he can avoid doing his duty or doing his responsibility. So there's a big lesson here that we're not supposed to make excuses to avoid our personal responsibility. It's easy to do that for some people, and that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to, if we have a responsibility, to address it, to see what we can do to make things better. I faced this, remember when we had the storm Irene and our electricity went out for a week or so, it was last year. And I remember one morning waking up and you could almost see the mist as I was breathing in the bedroom. It's 40 degrees in the bedroom. And I said, you know, we've got to do something different. And for years I toyed with the idea but hadn't done anything about putting a wood burning insert in the chimney, or actually in the fireplace that we have in the living room. So we decided to do that, and we hired someone to install goes up inside the chimney. Anyway, it's a stack that goes up, a liner going up all the way, so it's according to code. And what a difference it's made. And we found out that we can actually order firewood log length. You have to cut it up for $100 a cord. Well, that's going to cut my heating bill from like $2,700 in the wintertime normally down to $500. It's going to be a lot of physical work, but nevertheless, it's going to make it a lot easier. But now, and this year when we had the hurricane, the electricity went out. We were actually able to cook on the wood insert as well, as heat the house, and in the wintertime when we have a lot of snow, you can always melt the snow. So it's working out really, really well. But it was like the Lord, it was a wake-up call to me. The Lord says, well, think about how you can address this, then go after it. So a lot of times we can make life easier for ourselves if we assume responsibility and try to handle something. Proverbs 26:14 asserts the door turns around upon its pivot or hinge, and in this case it would be the hinge, and the sluggard turns upon his bed. So even the best efforts of sluggards are still very unproductive. A sluggard is a person who, when he does work, he's not thinking about what he's doing, so his efforts are futile. A wise person, when he sees that something is futile, he'll stop and think or get information so as to improve his actions so that he can work smarter instead of harder. So a lazy person often is mentally lazy, so he doesn't bother to get the insight that he needs to improve his work. I've been amazed watching people like Dave Slate here and Pete Hinman, when they go to work, they have tools that enable them to do a job very, very well. I was telling Dave how I was preparing my subflooring when I laid down the tile in my bathroom. And to lay it down, you have to have, according to code, you have to have screws every, 4 inches and so forth to go through all the woodwork that's there. And so I did it by hand. And Dave says, no, you did it by hand. He said, we told that to our guys, and they couldn't hardly believe it. You know, that would take hours. Well, they have electric drills that, you know, and they have drills with screws, and it's in 10, 15 minutes you get the whole thing done. It took me a day and a half doing this by hand. So I learned, if I ever become a carpenter, I'm going to have to, you know, get some tools. Same thing is true in the ministry. I was at Dallas Seminary, Dr. Ryrie, who's written the Charles Ryrie Study Bible, said, gentlemen, if you're going to do a quality job, make sure you buy your books now because you probably won't be able to afford them when you get out of seminary. So I did. I spent $2,300, $2,600, whatever it was, in books, buying books. And to this day, I don't regret doing that. It's been invaluable because now I can do independent research, you know, just in expounding the scriptures. And a lot of situations. I met a fellow who'd come back to Dallas Seminary to do his doctorate. And he'd had his master's degree, I think it was in Christian Ed, and there are all sorts of books. And then he got out and he found out that the books were way off because they weren't that biblical. So he came back to get his doctorate in Bible exposition so he could study scripture. So I learned from that to stay with the systematic theology major that I had, and then I minored in Semitic languages, such as Hebrew and Aramaic. And in Bible college, I majored in Bible exposition, which was actually a double major. It's 52 semester hours in Bible exposition and minored in Greek. That way we could do research. My goal in seminary and Bible college is not to get the best grades. I was to take the harder courses, but the courses that would equip me to do independent study so that I would never have to repeat a sermon in 50 years. So far it's working out. But it's true. A sluggard is a person who fails to learn, fails to see how he can improve how he's doing what he's doing so he can do a better job. So we need to be very careful to make sure that we're teachable even in our methodology. Proverbs 26:15 claims that the sluggard buries his hand in the sop dish. He wearies himself to return it to his mouth. We don't, in our culture, use a sop dish as much as in other cultures. In the culture that they had, especially in Jesus' day, you would have a sop dish. It would be sort of a sauce out there, and you would take your bread, and you would reach out with a piece of bread, and it would, of course, it was a piece that you broke off. It hadn't been eaten by a hand. And you would dip in this common sop dish that was in the center of the table and put the sop on it and then eat it. You've found this when you go to Italian restaurants. Often they'll have a little bowl of olive oil there, and you take your bread and you dip it in the olive oil and eat it that way. That's kind of new to me, but I've learned to like that. But this is the sop dish. Now, when you take the sop, you go through the effort of breaking the bread off, and you reach out into the sop dish, and you get the sop. In order to complete the transaction, you bring it back to your mouth. But the lazy person, he goes through the investment, goes through the time, goes through the effort of making the investment, but he never finishes it. And that's the whole point. A lazy person is someone who doesn't have the foresight to think about what he's getting into. Where a wise person says, all right, I'm going to make that commitment. When he makes a commitment, he makes the investment, and then he follows it through to the end so that it is productive. So we need to make sure that don't get involved in something unless we plan to finish it. Otherwise, it's a waste of our time and effort. If it's worth finishing, then finish it. Finish the job. My father was great on this when we were children growing up. He would never let us quit halfway through something. If we made a commitment, we had to finish it. Maybe we learned from that never to make that commitment again, but nevertheless, the point was finish it. Only if it became physically dangerous for us would he intercede in the seed and keep us from going any further. But he wanted us to learn to think and to think ahead of time, to develop some foresight so that you get investment or you invest only in that which is profitable. So it's very, very good for us to learn this kind of a lesson. Proverbs 26:16 teaches that the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. Sluggards are too lazy even to heed correction, so they are insensitive to their own failures, and so they suffer loss for it. So a sluggard can be someone who's lazy is in what he does. He can also be someone who's lazy in how he thinks. And many times, if a person is lazy in what he does, he's also lazy in how he thinks. He's not thinking about cause-effect. He's not thinking about the results of the planning and so forth that he's making. And of course, this is all implied. All these Proverbs 26:13 through 16, all of these imply wisdom or the lack of wisdom. Wisdom will make a person avoid being a sluggard mentally, also make him avoid being a sluggard physically or as far as his actions are concerned. So he makes everything count. Proverbs 26:17 starts a series of messages on damaging actions to avoid in order to avoid damaging other people. 26:17 asserts, like one who seizes a dog by its ears is a passerby who meddles in another one's strife. I don't know if you've ever grabbed a dog by the ears. If you haven't, don't. He will whip around and bite you very, very quickly because it's very sensitive on a dog. And he's very protective of his ears. And also a dog has tremendous hearing ability. And so you don't do that. But if a person meddles in strife, gets involved in a dispute that doesn't belong to him, often both parties will turn back on him. The police say that they would rather run into a drug dealer on the street and have to arrest him than to go to a home where there is a domestic dispute between a husband and a wife or a parent and child. Because if you get involved in between and got caught between them, often the people will turn on the officer and he'll suffer more harm because domestic disputes can backfire very, very quickly if you get involved. People are very defensive of one another, even if they're fighting like cats and dogs. So the point is, we need to be very careful not to make a dispute our own unless it is our own. If it's something that we need to get involved with, fine. For example, if we are a parent of a child and a child is getting involved with a dispute with another child, obviously that's our business because we have oversight in regards to that. But if it isn't, we really need to get some help. I found sometimes as a pastor, I'll see altercations occurring even within a church, and I have to sometimes, unless it's going to be immediately damaging, someone's going to get beat up, I try to get the parents involved first, if at all possible. And I found that it creates a lot more peace for us as a body if we do that. So we need to be very careful to watch that we don't meddle in strife that does not belong to us. Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19 is actually a single proverb. It goes like this. Like a madman, it's a hith pal pal, a very unusual form. But it's used substantively. In other words, it's a participle that is used like a noun. And it has an intensive reflexive format to it. So like a madman shooting fiery arrows, zek, or arrows of death, or deadly arrows, hasi. This is the nobleman. The word ish is nobleman. Who deals treacherously with his neighbor and says, was I myself not only jesting? I myself is an emphatic pronoun. So treacherously deceptive overseers do irreparable damage, so we must avoid this. It's very, very important, the higher we get in oversight, in any position, it could be in a business, could be a church situation, could be government, could be in a family situation. The higher responsibility we have, the more important it is that we have pure motives, number one, and that we communicate clearly, with clarity. Otherwise, it can do a tremendous amount of damage. Being treacherous obviously produces that much more damage. So leadership, the higher the leadership, the more vulnerable people, subordinates are to the leader. So the more responsible the leader really needs to be. We need to learn to treat our subordinates as we would want to be treated, because that's all leadership is. Leadership is an opportunity to help people. It's not to build up ourselves or to meet our own personal agenda. The purpose of leadership is to help subordinates where they can't help themselves. And that means we have to nurture, we need to give guidance, we need to be very patient. Yes, there's a time in correction, yes, there's a time for discipline, but even that has to be productive in reference to the subordinate. So we need to be very, very careful as overseers. Proverbs 26, verses 20 and 21, also is a single proverb, teaches that without firewood, a fire is extinguished, and with a lack of backbiting slander, strife quiets down or ceases. As coal to live coals of fire, and as firewood to fire, so is a quarrelsome nobleman to kindle strife. Once again, it's the word for nobleman. So if you're in an oversight position, if you have a tendency to be argumentative, it will create that much more of a problem for people. If anything, a person in oversight needs to work hard at seeking to be a peacemaker. Now, this I want to clarify the difference. There's a limit on this. You can't compromise. In fact, compromise with that which is unbiblical in leadership actually does a well of damage. What we're talking about is being argumentative as a disposition. A person can avoid compromising without being argumentative. He can just state the facts simply and clearly and hold his position. The point is, God wants us to move away from, if we're in oversight, this could be a husband, this could be church leader, this could be a parent with a child, could be a pastor, could be a business leader. If we're in oversight, we should seek to make being peaceable people and make avoiding strife a real hallmark of our disposition as people. And Proverbs 26:22 asserts that the words of a backbiter or a slanderer, the word ragan again as it was in verse 20, are like dainties greedily swallowed. Lacham is actually the word to eat, but it's in the hithpael, it's an intensive reflexive. So these would be dainties that are greedily swallowed. For they, emphatic pronoun again, the pronoun is written separate from the word, for they go down into the innermost chambers of the belly. Slanderous words, these are words that unjustly undermine another person. Slanderous words, even though they are false, they're very difficult to forget or not to hold as somewhat true. So we must do our best to avoid slandering others, as it does great irreparable harm. You can apply this even to verbal abuse. The word is painful. It not only controls a person, but it enters into the very heart of another individual and does tremendous damage. So the point is, we need to avoid undermining people in any way. I think it's a great thing to say something negative about a person only if, like, you're in a court of law, or only if the person is wanting and looking for some helpful criticism. But even then, we have to be very careful how we do it so that we are productive. Bad words can do tremendous damage. There's a phrase that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's not true. Words will do more harm than sticks and stones. The sticks and stones, if they break your bones, you can get over it. And you can get over it in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, but words don't do that. Words will stay there for a long time. It takes a long, long time to heal from that. Proverbs 26:23 claims, like the silver of dross. And actually what this was a glaze coating that was put over earthenware. So we would translate this, like a glaze coating laid over earthenware. Hedis is the technical word for a baked earthenware. Are burning or fervent lips with an evil heart. One's motives have to be pure for his persuasive words not to hurt. So we need to be very careful about becoming intense with our words unless our motives are absolutely true. There's nothing wrong with being passionate about what we have to say, but we've got to make sure that the motives are good. If our motive is genuine love, if our motive is genuinely caring for other people, fine, we can be intense. But if we're intense and our motives are bad, that does enormous harm. So the point is, be very careful how you speak and how you involve your emotions in your speech to make sure that you're absolutely right with the Lord. Okay, we'll open it up to you for questions or feedback in regards to these proverbs that we've covered. But we're not limited to that. If you had a question on something else,